Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Kami Jaster, your host for another episode. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week, and we get to know our guest. It is episode 111 of the Weekly Cooldown, and it is December 11th. It's like a bunch of ones. We have a like jam-packed show this we have a really chaotic show today, but it's going to be fun. We're going to talk about the Game Awards, and then we have another story to follow that with. It's going to be a lot of fun, so stick with me while I go through some quick headlines. Cyberpunk 2077 has officially landed in the hands of fans after what has been perhaps a long and arduous wait. Cyberpunk was and still is perhaps the most controversial game of 2020 for tons of reasons, and the launch has been no different. Players of the Steam version reported that a patch would not and could not update in time for them to enjoy the game to the fullest on the first day of release, and PS4 and Xbox One players reported that the midnight release of the game is reporting poor performances as a whole, including low frame rates, texture pop-ins, and low res and blurry visuals. Reports do say that the game seems to run better on PS5 and the Xbox Series X, but only marginally, as the game is still plagued with glitches and T-posing NPCs. The Sims 4 finally added new skin tones as a free update to the game. The update comes as a response to fans who have been asking for a larger pool of skin tones to choose from. A trailer for the new skin tones also show a new and wider variety of hairstyles, as well as sliders to tweak the hairstyles and the skin tones for the perfect match for your skin tone. There are over 100 skin tones, and in addition to those, there are more realistic skin tones, and then there are some fantasy or sci-fi colors in an additional miscellaneous category. Wizards of the Coast has dropped new codes for 5 out of 10 Bob Ross illustrated cards for Magic the Gathering Arena. Players will have until December 14th, so another 3 days from the time this podcast comes out, to enter the codes and get their free Bob Ross cards. We'll enter those codes in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. There will be no in-person Fortnite events this next year. Epic Games has posted a statement stating that there will be no Fortnite events in person and that they will continue to be online throughout 2021. The Fortnite Champion Series for Chapter 2 Season 5 of Fortnite is set to begin on February 4th, 2021, and Epic is also hoping that the date will allow players to adjust to the new season and join in on the events in a timely manner. The 2021 competitive schedule also includes weekly tournaments and what they are calling, quote, unique tournaments and creator cups, and assures that players will be able to participate in plenty of competitions between Champion Series seasons. And finally, Halo Infinite has a release date, sort of. If you recall, right after showing off Halo Infinite gameplay at E3 this year, players were seemingly underwhelmed by the game, especially with the art assets and graphics seemingly under par. Not long after, we received an announcement that the game would be delayed. Well, we finally have a new announcement stating that the game will be ready by the fall of 2021. At this point, that does seem like a long time from now, but with the response, we are hopeful that the game will be better than we're hoping going forward. And those are just some of the headlines for this week. If you want to talk about any of them, be sure to tweet at me at KamiJaceGaming or at WKCooldown on Twitter. And, you know, like, let's chat. Speaking of chatting, hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm very drunk right now. So I'm just gonna go ahead and just, like, clear this up a little bit before we get too far into it.
Yes.
We have literally started this podcast immediately after the video game awards ended.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I told Kami J several times, and I told my friends throughout this, and also, like, I made this publicly clear, but I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you guys, since this is gonna be permanently on the record for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I got very drunk during the video game awards 2020, specifically December 10th, 2020. I have gotten very drunk, and I am very drunk right now. I asked Kami Jace, I'm going to make this very clear right now. Kami Jace made it very clear, hey, if you're mildly to moderately drunk while I, Paul Henderson, am on your podcast, that is okay. I've gotten a little bit more than moderately drunk, but listen, Kami Jace said I could be here. I am recording into eternity for all of you to hear, and I am going to continue to say things until I am allowed to no longer say things, at which case I will say a little bit the things further. Paul yes. Henderson is drunk right now.
I'm super excited. I'm very excited. I was saying as well that someday I will have to, maybe as like a bonus episode, just so that I can put it out into the world as well, I will have to do some kind of like drunk episode where I've been drinking.
Where you've been drinking.
Guest is drinking.
Guests have been drinking. Everybody's drunk off their tits.
I just need one of those just to blast it out there. But yes.
I'm just going
to
clarify again. Paul Henderson, this person who is guesting on your podcast, not Kami Jace himself. Kami Jace, as far as I know, has not been drinking. Have you not been drinking?
I have had water and ginger ale.
Kami Jace said water and ginger ale. I have had 3 beers and bourbons, which I'm so for excited. Me gets me very, very fucking fucked up.
Slap happy.
That's I am excited good. To... Okay, so to put this into perspective, I'm very excited to listen to this podcast a couple days from now when I am very sober and I'm like, what the fuck is this dude saying?
No.
But I right now, I'm just vibing. I am doing great.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I just love to hear that. I love to hear that. I'm so happy to hear that. So we're going to get into the kind of quick getting to know you parts.
Yes.
So let us ask the age-old question. What have you been playing this week?
Oh God, what have I been playing this week? So I haven't actually been playing it, but I'm like sort of poking into it. I've been playing a little bit of Witcher 3 specifically to see if I want to stream it. When I say I've been playing The Witcher 3, I mean I literally played the opening cutscene and like the first 5 minutes of gameplay. I saw a bunch of horses get decapitated, and I was like, oh, fuck, that's kind of fucked up. And immediately followed by, okay, I'm kind of into that, actually. I can see how this is kind of fun. I played some Final Fantasy XIV, which the new patch just came out a couple days ago. Yes. And in addition to that, like, actual game I've been regularly playing. Oh, yeah, I've been playing a fuckload of Stardew Valley. Me and my girlfriend have actually been streaming Stardew Valley together, and we just recently got through the first year. We actually just got into, I think, the second year of summer in Stardew Valley. Now, I've never played Stardew Valley myself. I played it with my ex a while back, and he played a lot of modded Stardew Valley, so I wasn't, like, super able to get into it. But me and my current girlfriend have been playing a lot of unmodded Stardew Valley, and that's been a lot of fun for us. And actually, it's been like, so to clarify, I've played a little bit of Harvest Moon in the past.
Yes.
A little. And when I say I've played Harvest Moon, I've played a very little bit of Harvest Moon. I actually purchased Harvest Moon on a virtual console for the original Wii, and I got like 2 days into it, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about this. Stardew Valley has itched the scratch that I wanted Harvest Moon to scratch. And it has been very fun for me. And in addition to that, there's like some dungeon crawling aspects to it, which I didn't really expect, which I understand. Rune Factory apparently has some aspects of dungeon crawling, which I haven't really crawled into. And so Stardew Valley has itched that scratch to me really well. So it's like there's battle aspects of Stardew Valley, and there's also farming aspects of Stardew Valley that has been scratching hard for me. And so those two things combined, in addition to also being able to dungeon crawl with my girlfriend, which my girlfriend is not a dungeon crawler type person. I've played Spelunky 2 with my girlfriend a little bit. She's not been super into it, but she's enjoyed it to some degree. Being able to go through those dungeons with my girlfriend has actually been a lot of fun. It's actually been like a really good way to meld those two genres in a really interesting way with my girlfriend.
They did a really good job on that. And I wasn't really expecting first of all, I wasn't expecting that in a game like Stardew Valley. And on top of that, I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I do.
Yeah. And again, I want to give a little shout out to Concerned Ape. Ape, by the way, I want to point out, is a solo developer. He had some friends helping with Stardew Valley, but ultimately Stardew Valley is mostly a solo Project, which was originally published by Chucklefish, but he very fortunately got away from Chucklefish and ultimately made it a solo project, which he's actually self-publishing now. And I'm just going to toss that as a side note. Fuck Chucklefish. Thank God he got away from them and has made it a solo project entirely for himself. That is super cool. And the fact that with some friend help, he has been able to make that a solo project for him is super impressive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And yeah, we love Stardew Valley here at Hell the Cooldown. Yeah. I don't know how many times it's been recommended as a game you should play, but like, it is one of those games where I think everyone can either find a way to enjoy it or like it ends up just kind of growing on them at some point. So kudos to that. We love that. As you said, it has been a very good week for video games so far.
Yeah, it sure fucking has.
Final Fantasy XIV has their patch 5.4 out this week as of Tuesday. Again, Cyberpunk has come out. And then also we have the Video Game Awards.
Video Game Awards, which a bunch of world premieres coming out for that.
God, yeah.
A peak among which a unannounced but confirmed new Mass Effect game has been announced.
Yeah. And on top of that, too many more. And we will go through some of those in just a moment. I do want to say this is usually the point where on the new show we do the questions submit by the listeners, but because there's going to be so much Video Game Awards talk, and also we have a second topic to go over, I'm going to skip that, and I apologize to you, the listener, because I know.
We'll get back to it. Listen, Kami Jace is one of the most consistent fucking podcasters I know out there. If anybody is going to get back to the shit he wants to talk about, it's going to be Kami Jace. Mm-hmm. He'll get back to it. Don't worry.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That being said, let's talk about your stream really quick. How has your stream been going?
I mean, honestly, lately, the past few weeks specifically, I've been mostly focusing on streams between me and my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who doesn't know, I stream on twitch.tv/bonding77. And generally, I kind of go for more general streams. I go for a variety of stream. I don't have a single game that I focus on. I mean, I do stream like Team Fortress 2 every once in a blue moon. I streamed a lot of Dark Souls. For anybody who has been following my stream for a while, I have a stream series called the Soulsborne Quintet, which I've streamed Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 2, and Bloodborne, and Dark Souls 3. Whenever I get a PS5, whenever that happens, I don't know if it's going to happen this Christmas or if it's going to happen next time in the next few months. I eventually do plan on streaming the Demon's Souls Quintet. So I'm going to stream Demon's Souls itself. That is going to be my final game in the series. But generally speaking, I guess I tend to stream a lot of action games. And in the genre of action games, although it's generally considered more of an action RPG game than a strictly action game, I've actually been looking forward to streaming with The Witcher 3, which, you know, everybody's been blowing up Cyberpunk 2077. And I've got some mild interest in Cyberpunk 2077. Maybe I'll stream it a couple of years from now, but like right now, The Witcher 3 actually looks super interesting to me. Not just because of the fact that Cyberpunk is the newest game, you know, I don't want to drop $60 on it, whatever. I don't really care about that much. But The Witcher 3, if you follow Reddit, if you follow a lot of game publications, a lot of games have been saying The Witcher 3 is like the best game of the last 5 years. And I'm very interested to see where all that hype comes from. I haven't played very much of The Witcher 3. I played the very intro, saw a bunch of horses getting decapitated, and was like, oh god, that's very violent, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And there was also a naked woman, which, pansexual, like, I'm very interested in naked women. Mm-hmm. Also, comedy, she can stop me at any time. but also, I also played the Monster Hunter crossover with The Witcher. And honestly, if there's anything that has gotten me interested in The Witcher, it has been the crossover with Monster Hunter. Because the Monster Hunter crossover with The Witcher was like, oh, wait a minute. This is like fantasy. If like, and when I say fantasy, I mean like the Brothers Grimm style fantasy Fairy tales is what I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Fairy tales crossed over with like noir. And Kami Jace, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but fairy tales crossover with noir is very interesting to me. And apparently The Witcher 3 is a lot of fairy tales crossover with noir. Is that kind of like, is that a far off take, or is that actually pretty close?
I would agree with you. I haven't played much of The Witcher, either of the game or any of the games, I should say, but that is kind of the feeling I got. Like you're playing a fantasy detective series or something like that. It is very cool.
Detective, noir, those two go together.
Yes.
And from what I understand, there is a lot of, like, really fairy tale style stuff. Mm-hmm. If not outright fairy tales, like, very fantasy. It's very, like, a horse eats a child. And Geralt shows up and is like, why the fuck did this horse eat this child?
Yes. The original source material, which CD Projekt Red is very good at adapting. Yes. Is basically like a Brothers Grimm type story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lots of that fantasy kind of mystical elements to it. So it definitely has that feel to it.
And I want to clarify.
I like that
the
idea.
The only things that I have seen of The Witcher so far has literally been... So the opening cutscene, which is like the horse getting its head cut, chopped off, followed by Geralt being like... Or is it Geralt or Geralt? I always forget.
I think people switch it up. I don't know.
So I'm going to say Geralt, because I think that sounds correct. Geralt being like, oh, hey, this is what happened here, followed by here, and then this also happened. Mm-hmm. And then Geralt goes into a scene with his, like, girlfriend-type person, who is literally naked, sitting in a chair, reading a book, and being like, hey, Geralt, you need to train this person. And Geralt being like, but I want to have sex with you now. And Geralt being like, but I need to read this thing.
Yeah.
That's... Or Geralt's wife being like, girlfriend, and you being like, I need to read this thing.
I do enjoy, at least in The Witcher 3, how kind of candid they are about being naked.
It's super cool, actually, because, like, in real life, you know, like, if you're in a really solid relationship with somebody, you don't give a shit.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Anyway.
That's super fun. We're going to take a super fast break.
Yes.
And then we will be back with more show.
Good time. Hey, Kami Jace.
What do cannibals, secret codes, and scientists, sex wizards all have in common? They are all topics we've covered in episodes of Strangeful Things. We bring you a new story every week and do our best to turn you on to things you might not have heard before.
We'll still hit the big topics sometimes too, but we'll always shoot to bring you a fresh perspective and our own special recipe of inappropriate jokes no matter what we cover. From true crime to cryptids to conspiracies, we'll tell you stories about stuff that's weird, gross, scary, and neat, sometimes all at once.
That's why we had to invent the word strangeful. See, Murder, Bigfoot, Ghostnet, Inslaw Things is a terrible show name. Oh, and the show is not for kids and definitely not safe for work, unless the place you work at is super chill and cool.
To subscribe, visit StrangefulThings.com or search for Strangeful Things on your podcast platform of choice. That's Strangeful Things, making weird shit fun to hear.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So... we're going to first tackle the video game awards. So it was today, as of this recording, on December 10th. When you're listening to this, you will probably have digested everything you've wanted to from the video game awards. We got to look at so many, first of all, so many people got awards and so many games were nominated. Sorry if you hear my paper rustling in the background, but...
Mario is fucking dead.
Mario's dead. Sephiroth killed him. We'll get to that in a sec. But it was just a really... It was very jam-packed for what it's worth. I was very skeptical about how they would pull it off, and if they would pull it off because of COVID. But they did a pretty good job. It was very well done. That being said, There's a lot here. So, first of all, congratulations to everyone who won. The Last of Us 2 rather took, I want to say like 5 or 6 awards. It was
best game direction, like best sound, a lot of shit.
Yeah, best game direction. They've got best action adventure game, actually.
Yeah.
And that title usually wins, the Game of the Year award, which they did. So they took home a ton of awards. Among Us, though, took home 2 awards. They were super gracious about it, and I really am like proud of them for that. It's like 4 people. So like for them to take hold of 2 awards among the 4 of them is wonderful. We saw a lot of game trailers for too many games. So we saw the game trailer for Scarlet Nexus, a new game we saw a teaser for called Evil West. We saw a Star Wars VR game.
What was that that like dog fighting dragon game?
Oh, I wrote it down and I don't remember which one it is.
There was a game that looked a lot like Panzer Dragoon, but in multiplayer and with a bunch of people. And yeah. It looked like really fun. And I can't remember the name of it right now, but it looked super sick.
It did. It did. And I will swing back to it when I remember what it was
That's
called.
That's fine. I caught into your thing.
We got Back 4 Blood, which looked amazing to me.
I mean, really... it's Left 4 Dead, but better.
Yes, it looks like... they took some little cues from the successes of like maybe it was their idea first, but they
I'm gonna definitely interrupt on that one. It's made by Turtlewalk Studios, which is the studio that bought and then unbought to make Left 4 Dead.
You're right.
Turtlewalk Studios was the studio that made Left 4 Dead and then make Left 4 Dead 2, and then Valve sold them or something, but I don't remember exactly what happened. But basically, it is made by the studio that literally, not just practically, literally made Left 4 Dead.
Yes, and what I was getting at was it looks like they took some cues from Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil 3 with the big monster chasing after you.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't even considered that. You're totally right.
It looked really...
Left 4 Dead with a hint of Resident Evil Nemesis.
Yeah, it looks really fun, and that's truly up my alley, and I'm excited for that. I'm trying to find on my list of notes here the Dragon game. It was not called something with dragon in it, which is why I'm having a hard time finding
it. It was associated with Dragon Age, but I don't think it was Dragon Age.
No, it was... Oh, shit. I'll never find it.
Century now. Age of Ashes?
Maybe.
I think that was it. Century Age of Ashes.
You know what? You're right. That is exactly what that is. Yes. It did look very cool, and that's why I really wanted to kind of talk about it, because you mentioned Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, it was Century Age of Ashes. I was 100% yes. right.
As soon as I looked at it, I said, is this Panzer Dragoon?
It looked a lot like Panzer Dragoon, but Panzer Dragoon multiplayer dogfight is like something I hadn't even thought of. Like, whenever I think of Panzer Dragoon, I think of, oh yeah, it's a single player on rails shooter game. I never think, holy fuck, it's like fucking, what's that game called where you fly in the planes and it's another dogfight type game?
Ace Combat?
Ace Combat. It's like Ace Combat, but fucking dragons.
Yeah.
Like, nobody ever thinks of that. That's genius.
It is. And I was actually like, I could get into that one. Get into that one.
And for the record, by the way, I'm just going to toss that one out there. Panzer Dragoon's Vi has been confirmed, by the way. The guys that made the Panzer Dragoon original remake have confirmed like a year and a half ago that they were going to make the Panzer Dragoon's Vi remake. I don't think they have anything to do with this game. Fucking Ashes, whatever the fuck it's called. But, oh, man.
It looked good. It looked good. We also got a look at the Perfect Dark trailer, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah. The moment they were being super cagey on what the game was, I was like, okay, this is clearly a remake of some kind. They were like, this is a new game by a company who wants to pay a lot of homage to a previous game that has existed. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of references to a lot of different stuff, and they were like being super subtle about it. And usually whenever it's a new game, they kind of announce the title up front. So I was like, okay, something suspicious is going on here. Right. I think they're going to be remaking something. And literally the moment they showed a main character with red hair, I was like, oh, this is a new Perfect Dark game. And then immediately the title screen for Perfect Dark popped up and I was like, oh, okay, well, I figured it's that
a,
out.
I it was a your, good trailer, too. Puzzle. Yeah, it was a very good trailer. I was thrown. And it
makes me really interested for where the Perfect Dark series is going to go, because the Perfect Dark series, of course, for anybody who's not familiar, is a series from the Nintendo 64 who's kind of along the veins of like GoldenEye. It's a first person shooter series which is from the Nintendo 64. It was re-released for the Xbox 360 and is known for being a stealth series in first person shooters, which is not super common within the first person shooter genre. And correct. I think it was originally made by Rare, right?
Yes,
I believe so. Rare, as far as I can tell, is not involved in this remake, which is fine. You know, other companies can pick up remakes of series that were originally made by other studios. I'm really interested to see how another studio carries Rare's first-person shooter, which Rare is ultimately not really known for their more realistic stuff. They're known for Banjo-Kazooie and Donkey Kong 64. They're not really known for their cartoony type stuff. Or they're not known for they're definitely known for their cartoony type stuff. They're not known for their more realistic type stuff like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. GoldenEye they're known for. Perfect Dark they're maybe less known for. I'm very interested to see where a new studio takes Perfect Dark, especially within a Middle Eastern setting, which...
Yeah.
A Middle Eastern setting is going to be a very new place to take the Perfect Dark series. The Perfect Dark series is set within the United States. It's very spy-oriented type stuff. I want to see how they can take an Egyptian-specifically setting and handle it with the like grace that I expect a Middle Eastern thing to be handled. Yeah, and the care that they need. So, for the record, I have a few friends who are in the Middle East. Specifically, I have a friend who's within the United Arab Emirates. And I am very interested to see how they handle a series set within Africa and handle it with the grace and the nobility that I would hope a Middle Eastern series is set with.
Absolutely. What did you think of the Callisto Protocol?
Callisto Protocol, that was the game that was from the director of...
Dead Space,
yes. So right off the bat, immediately the moment I saw a barcode on the back of somebody's neck, my first thought was, oh, this looks a lot like Dead Space.
You're right.
I think it has potential. I don't know what I think of it yet because I know very little about the game. But it's got very necromorph style enemies.
It does. Yes.
If they can have a very solid protagonist like Isaac Clarke from Dead Space and Dead Space 2 and Dead Space 3, if they can have like a really like solid rock of a protagonist, Isaac Clarke, which is of course Isaac Newton and what's his name Clark, I can't remember. From Dead Space. If they can have like a really solid rock of a protagonist who feels like he can actually survive those situations, or you know, alternatively somehow, if they can have the guy from the trailer somehow survive, which seems really unrealistic, but if they can have a really interesting solid rock of a protagonist throughout the entire series, I will be very interested to see where this series goes because it looks fantastic. If it is going to be a spiritual successor to Dead Space, I am very excited to see where it goes. Because I played Dead Space 1, I played Dead Space 2. I was supposed to play Dead Space 3 through with a friend of mine who, unfortunately, we never ended up going through it. But it always looked really interesting to me. I played a little bit of a demo of Dead Space 3 and I saw the giant drill, which is sort of like an environmental enemy. And I find environmental enemies to be very interesting, just sort of like, this is a force of nature that you have to deal with, and also maybe it's being augmented by aliens just a little bit, but don't worry about too much. And any game that has, like, that alien mixed with technology element to it, that stuff is very interesting to me, and I'm very interested to see how a rock of a protagonist deals with the enemies from that series.
We can only hope that in 2 years' time.
It's coming out in 2022, right? That's what they announced? Yeah.
Let's see. What else? Tony Hawk won.
Good for Tony Hawk.
Best sports game.
I love that.
Very interesting to see how Tony Hawk actually adapted to quarantine that we've been dealing with through the year of 2020. 2020, of course, been a hell year. If you're listening to this in the future, I am happy for you. Don't come back to 2020. It was a bad year to time travel back to.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's see. We got Arc 2 with Vin Diesel.
Arc, which is interesting. I'm honestly shocked that Arc 2 was announced. I'm honestly surprised that there is going to be a game past Arc 1. If I expected anything, I would expect more DLC for Arc 1, but the fact that there is going to be a sequel to that game, a game that was in early access for a really fucking long time. In fact, let me see if I can find it.
I actually didn't know it was in early access that long. Why was it in early access so long?
I don't know, but early Arc 1 went into early access in 2015.
Oh, and then came out recently?
In 2017.
Oh, okay, so like 2 years.
So yeah, 2017.
That's still a long time, though.
It came out for iOS in 2018. I actually did not know that Arc was a mobile game, but...
That's weird, but...
But it was in early access for like 2 years, and we're getting a sequel for it in 2020. Which is incredible.
With
and,
Vin Diesel.
And everybody who saw the trailer instantly recognized Vin Diesel, except for me, who thought he was The Rock at first and then realized he was Vin Diesel.
Great job.
In my defense, Vin Diesel and The Rock don't look too different from each other, but I'm also awesome
brown. So. One is brown. That's all I gotta say about
one
that.
One is Samoan, one is... Is Vin Diesel actually white?
I wish I could answer that question for you. He constantly plays characters with either, like, an ambiguous kind of white name or an ambiguous kind of
his mother is
name.
White and his adoptive father is African-American. His biological father is definitely a person of color, according to Vin Diesel.
Okay.
And so we know for a fact that The Rock is Samoan. And according to Vin Diesel is half white, half black, or half a person of color.
Half brown somehow. Okay, make it that well, what you fine. let's see. Mist and VR looks cool.
Mist look cool? Yeah, don't have much to say about that. Yeah, it's Oculus. I don't have an Oculus
Rift someday.
Or an Oculus Quest. I have a Valve Index right now, so I can't play that until they decide to make that not a exclusive.
They gave an award for most anticipated game for which Elden Ring won.
And of course it did.
I wanted that to have something for the Elden Ring people, but there's just nothing for them.
Listen, FromSoft does what FromSoft does.
It's
and
true.
We are so lucky to know that Elden Ring even exists.
You know what? That's fair. You're right.
Miyazaki does what Miyazaki does, and we are merely his bitches.
Very true. Equally so, we got some very, very light information about a new Dragon Age game.
Yeah. We did get a little bit of information, including the fact that the bald motherfucker who I don't remember the name of Varric, is apparently a major character in the next Dragon Age game.
Yes, that which a lot of people seem to be excited for, and I'm excited for them. I'm not a Dragon Age stan, but I stan the Dragon Age stans.
What's his name?
Varric, I believe.
Solus. I'm gonna just be straight up. I literally Googled bald Dragon Age character, and Solus was the first character who came up.
I always thought it was Varric. So, you know, you got me.
All I know is that when they showed the Dragon Age 4 trailer, Solus showed up near the end. And it was like, oh, it's the dude that everybody hates on Tumblr. Holy shit. I know who that is. And also the fact that I am acquaintances with a person who voiced a character in Dragon Age 3 and Dragon Age 3 Dragon Age Inquisition.
Bloodhound. Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a really good friend because I remembered their name. I'm drunk. Okay, that's my excuse. Allegra Clark is somebody who I personally have actually known for about a decade, since about 2012.
Perfect.
I say that. Me and her haven't talked since 2012, but she voiced Bloodhound in Apex Legends, who is a very cool character, and she also voices a pirate character in Dragon Age and Dragon Age Inquisition, Dragon Age 3 and Dragon Age Inquisition, and as a result, I sort of, like, ancillarily know people in Dragon Age, but also the fact that Tumblr was like, fuck this person in particular, soulless in Dragon Age.
Is there any last things you would like to cover before?
Red versus Blue, Fortnite, fucking right, Blood Gulch in Fortnite is wild to me. Yes. My literal aunt and uncle voiced characters in Red versus Blue season 14, specifically the opening episode of season 14. And the fact that Red versus Blue specifically, not Halo, Red versus Blue is getting a fucking game mode in Fortnite in Blood Gulch. There's a fucking capture the flag mode that has been added to that. Is like specifically not only targeting me, but specifically assaulting me personally. It is telling me, hey, Paul Henderson, living in Austin, Texas, did you know that this series that your family members have acted in is going to be in this game by Epic Games? Anyway, fuck you. Go play some fucking Capture the Flag, asshole, you piece of shit. I am tripping the fuck out, and not just because I'm drunk, although it doesn't help.
Amen to that. We love it. I loved that. That was wonderful. I want to give a quick shout out to Tell Me Why. One of my great friends worked on that
game.
Ain't
nothing but a heartbreak.
Not that one. A great friend of mine worked on that game. She received the award for Games of Impact, which it won.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Like a personal friend of yours?
Yes, a personal friend of mine. She received the award. She was on the screen. Her name is Livy, and she's wonderful, and I hope she's listening right now.
I hope so too. I hope she's hearing my fucking bullshit commentary when she's actually talking about shit that actually matters. Really?
Wow. She did?
Hey, Livy, I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you won that award.
I am actually very proud.
Legitimately. The fact that you are getting that recognition on a platform that was heard by like 400,000 fucking gamers who were maybe as drunk as I am, or maybe even not. That is super cool. I'm proud of you.
Yep. And I know a lot of people were. We were all rooting for you, and we're very happy that you won that award. I was crying for you. Oh. And then they put Vin Diesel on the screen.
It's fine.
Literally right after. It was Vin Diesel. Okay. So that's, I guess, the video game awards. There was way too much going on. We can definitely talk more about it on Twitter if you want.
Yeah.
We can do an extra episode, like, breaking down all the shit. But it was way too much. That being said, we have one more story to go over.
Yeah.
And it deals with Twitch and hateful conduct. A new hateful conduct and harassment policy for Twitch will go into effect in January. In this latest change to the policy, Twitch will be looking to do an increased focus on sexual harassment and attacks against, quote, identity-based attributes. Sure. The updates will add the sexual harassment category to its current policies with a, quote, much lower tolerance for objectifying or harassing behavior. This will include things like unwelcome comments on attractiveness, explicit comments about sexuality or appearance, and sending unwanted links to nude images and videos. The policy is also expanding to include caste, color, and immigration status as protected characteristics. Malicious use of emote combinations will also be added to the policies, though we're not quite sure how that will look just yet. Likewise, the use of hate speech and symbols, which have always been prohibited, have been expanded to specifically prohibit black, brown, yellow, and red face unless they are being used in an educational context, as well as the Confederate flag. It is worth mentioning that this could be incredibly difficult to enforce due to the popularity of the Confederate flags in the United States, and due to the somewhat vague language about blackface being used and brown face, yellow face, red face, being used in an explicitly educational context. So that's, there you have it. I mean, Twitch is trying. And I think that's not the extent of what we could say, but some of it seems late.
So right off the bat to me, that sounds like, a very specific instance of Twitch emotes being used in the context of racism within Twitch chat is the use of the tryhard emote, specifically whenever a African-American or black speaker shows up on a Twitch chat.
Right.
That's something that's really prevalent whenever somebody of a black or African-American background or somebody who just visually appears to be black, Twitch chat would just be like, oh yeah, fucking tryhards, baby, because it's a black person. Hell yeah. Love that for me. Right. And I think that's just sort of an example of Twitch being like, hey, actually, no, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That's a really racist thing to do. And I know Trihex specifically, the person who is behind that emote, has spoken out about that. Like, hey, whenever somebody spams tryhard and you're a black person and you're spamming and you're making a statement that might be controversial, or even if you're not making a statement that's controversial, because that's just like you just happen to be a black person who is speaking on Twitch. Right. The fact that your immediately response is to that, oh yeah, time to spam the fucking tryhards, that's not a good reaction to that.
Right.
And that update to that code of conduct gives Twitch an actual response to that. Because right. In the past, they haven't really been able to respond to that to be like, hey, actually racism is bad.
Racism
isn't that great. And Twitch hasn't had a code of conduct response to that, which, you know.
Right. And that's, I guess, what I was.
It's a weakness.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of getting at when I said it feels late. It, like, people, like you said, people have been saying for years, including the face of that one emote, that this is bad and you guys are doing bad. So it took a while for them to listen to that and then add this into the policy. I don't know how long that emote's been around. And to be very specific,
the use of the try hard emote in the context of like celebrating something amazing, Trihex, for the record, he's somebody that actually follows me on Twitter, fun fact, but Trihex is an amazing person, and like celebrating something that is legitimately exciting with the Trihex emote or anything else, like a PogChamp emote, for example, is a legitimate way to use that emote. Like, to be legitimately excited about something with the use of the Trihex emote or the Tryhard emote or the PogChamp emote, that's great. But whenever you use that specifically within the context of, oh, this is a black person speaking, this is an African-American speaking, this is an Asian-American speaking, time to spam the fucking PogChamps, time to spam the Tryhards, that's bad. And that is when it should be absolutely shut down, and Twitch specifically needs to shut that shit down. And it I'm also, glad they are finally taking some actions to stop right. that.
It also kind of minimizes the use of those because, like you said, those are usually used for celebration. But when you minimize it down to someone's skin color, you minimize the like joy it brings. First of all, the proprietor of that emote, and also like the people who want to use it to have fun and not be an asshole. So like, if anyone out there has the opinion that this is Twitch being too heavy-handed, then I have to say that like Twitch viewers kind of brought it on themselves by being assholes. So sorry, it's like,
I remember specifically, and this is a very specific instance of that, but when Malik Forte was a host for the Overwatch League back in like the first or second season of Overwatch League. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
He not only called this out, but specifically addressed the tryhard emotes that appeared whenever he would host an Overwatch League during the first season, or like, I think early on in the second season or late in the second season. Specifically him, he was like, oh, right, well, everybody, hey, who's spamming the tryhards in the chat? literally only because he was a host who happened to be an African-American dude on the Overwatch League that was like, all right, time to spam all the fucking tryhards, you racist pieces of shit. And that was the exactly kind of stuff that Twitch is trying to shut down.
It reminds me of the, what was it? The, Knuckles meme from a while back.
Yeah.
Where,
do you know the way? That fucking shit pissed me off so much.
Where you have black people telling you specifically, like, hey, you know, this isn't very cool.
Hey, this is a meme that specifically mocks African people.
Right. And then they would counter that with, oh, but the creator says it's cool.
Yeah, but
and
it's a funny meme, though. Yeah,
but...
No. Yeah. That meme's been uncomfortable since 2018, y'all. If you're still using Do You Know the Way in 2020, you fucked up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that one's dead. Get rid of it.
That one's been dead for a couple years, y'all.
That one is dead. But yeah, I mean, good on Twitch for trying now. It is a little late, but...
Better late than never, I guess.
Yes, better late than never.
Considering the fact that they're owned by Amazon, I guess, you know, I gotta give them any credit at this point, right?
Yes, this is a step in the correct direction.
And any step in the correct direction if you're owned by Amazon is something.
Yes, absolutely. All right, on that note, we're going to start wrapping up the show. It's been such a good one.
Has it?
I think so. I love it. So
I hope so, because, man, it doesn't feel like a good one from my perspective. But I'm drunk, so I don't have any perspective.
Well, it's fine. Real. As we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Well, my eternal recommendation is going to be Nights into Dreams. Mm-hmm. If you've never played Nights into Dreams, which was originally released on the Sega Saturn, my first recommendation is if you can get a hold of a Sega Saturn, grab a Sega Saturn, purchase Nights into Dreams on disc, buy it, get it for your physical copy in your living room. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, my next recommendation is there is a Sega Saturn emulator somewhere. I don't want to recommend piracy on this published podcast. But if you gotta find some way to emulate Nights into Dreams for a Sega Saturn emulator. I don't actually legitimately have any information about that. Listen, Google is your friend. I'm just gonna leave that at there. Third step, Nights into Dreams is on Steam, and this fall sale, maybe the winter sale at this point. Let's see. Nights into Dreams on Steam.
On Steam.
Nights into Dreams. Steam is currently available for, you know, fuck it, $70.99. That's not a great price, but it's good enough for me. There's a Dreamcast bundle which comes with Sonic Adventure DX, Space Channel 5, Sega Bass Fishing, Crazy Taxi, Nights into Dreams, and Jet Set Radio for $25.
That's pretty good.
Honestly, pretty fucking good deal. Crazy Taxi is a good game. Sega Bass Fishing is an okay game. Sonic Adventure DX is a really good game. Space Channel 5 has some issues, but it's a pretty good game. Jet Set Radio is a good game. Nights into Dreams, super good game. Sonic Adventure 2, actually a really good game. If you had to buy the Dreamcast bundle, literally only for Nights into Dreams, even though Nights into Dreams wasn't on the Dreamcast. I don't understand why it's in the Nights into Dreams bundle, but that's totally fine. You know, fuck it, whatever. So if they're gonna include it in that bundle, that's totally fine. Buy the fucking Dreamcast bundle just for Nights into Dreams. Download that shit, buy it. And if you weren't gonna buy Nights into Dreams, if that's just like not your shit, that's totally fine. I'm gonna be streaming The Witcher 3 soon on my personal Twitch channel. I'm pretty excited to actually try out The Witcher 3 because I played the opening cutscene and I played the opening like 5 minutes of the game. Witcher 3 seems like a lot of fun to me, and I'm pretty excited to try it out. I know there's a lot of really transphobic shit in Cyberpunk 2077, but the same company that made Cyberpunk 2077 also made The Witcher series, Witcher 1, Witcher 2, and Witcher 3. I'm going to be trying out The Witcher 3 very soon on my roommate's time, and I am very excited to see what that is about. And I've heard a lot of good things about it on Reddit. I've heard that the side quests are very involved and very interesting, and the main story is also very involved and super interesting. And also there are a lot of very naked people, both for people who are interested in women and people who are interested in men. Speaking from personal experience, I'm a pansexual individual. Geralt is a fucking snack. The Witcher 3.
The Witcher 3.
Okay, very I'm good. Done. Finally,
very good, very good. To be quite honest, I don't know what to recommend. So I got a PlayStation 5. I am a console boy now. I haven't been a console boy since.
If you want to recommend Cyberpunk, I won't hold it against you.
No, I don't think I do. I have not played on a console since the Xbox 360.
Really?
And this is my first PlayStation. Yes, this is also my first PlayStation since PlayStation 2.
Holy shit.
I am at a loss about. I do have it, but I have not played it yet.
Holy shit. So, yo, Kami Day, stream Demon Souls.
I don't know if I want to.
Do it, though.
I'm so bad at those games.
That's fine. They're not actually that hard. That's like the whole marketing angle on them is like, oh, they're super fucking hard, but like if you play them enough, it's like trial and error. It's like fucking goblins and ghouls.
I'm so bad at it, but I will try.
I would actually legitimately watch a stream of you playing fucking Demon Souls. I'm not even joking.
I will say that if you have a chance to get a PlayStation 5 at some point, you should probably play Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah!
And the reason I say that is because it is the, like, at least for me, I'm a black Latinx person from the Bronx. Technically, Miles Morales is from Brooklyn and he moved to Harlem in the game, but that's fine because my mom is from Spanish Harlem, so it all works out.
And as a white person who can also, like, do some racial points, it's super good.
It is very good, and it is like the peak, like, what's it called? Like the peak of representation right now. Yes. I mean, it really is. It is the best representation I've seen in a long time. I like teared up during the very beginning where they're having like a Christmas dinner. They're having like ham and pernil and all kinds of really like things I would have at my home. And it just felt really good to see that. So, play Miles Morales or watch someone play Miles Morales. It's very, very good. And I could not be more excited about that game. So that being said, we have to do one last thing. And that is, please let us know if you wish to be found on the internet and where we can find you on said internet.
Well, if after listening to this podcast, you've listened to my drunken rambling, as I've decided, actually, I'm an interesting person to listen to and not just some racist piece of shit. No. You can listen to me at Paul's Rock and Twit. You can also, if you're feeling really adventurous, you can find me Tumblr, tumblr.com/ paulsultimatearchive.tumblr.com is where I am at right now. Although I haven't used Tumblr in a long time. Twitter is ultimately where you're going to find me. Mm-hmm. Also, like, if you're feeling extra deep on your cuts, I've gotten into roleplay recently, so you can find me at VelasquezMath84 at twitter.com or at Kiki Familian Yan on Twitter. Because I've been role-playing a lot lately.
That's
in
right.
A game called Blazeball.
That's right, you have, and I'm proud of you. It just feels good.
Paul's Rock and Twit is the main base where you can find me. And also you can find me twitch.tv/bonzi77 as always, where I've been playing Stardew Valley. I'm probably gonna be playing The Witcher. You can find me playing Demon Souls at some point. That's one of my hubs. And I guess I may as well link my Discord while I'm at it. I don't actually remember the link for my Discord, but if you look at my Twitch, my Discord will be there. You can get there eventually, and I will say hi.
Yes, we'll slap it down in the show notes as well, because
I'll send it to Comedy Days.
This baby can hold whatever you want.
Hell yeah.
All right, as always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WK Cooldown. Visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page, I guess. I haven't posted
on that. And if you're listening to this podcast and you're not checking out the Weekly Cooldown, I will find you. I have a specific set of skills, and I will locate where you are, and I will. I don't remember the rest of the speech.
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson's Nissan.
Liam Neeson's son.
Visit WK Cooldown for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. please do that. It really helps with the show. It helps people find the show. It's very important that you try to send in a review. Is
the YouTube algorithm?
Yes, it does.
And we didn't even talk about the fact that Sephiroth is in Smash Brothers. God,
we can't. Everyone else is going to talk about it.
They know.
Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And support your favorite charities and support the show. Be sure also to check out the bonus episode for the pilot of my new show, The Greatest Gaming Game Show Ever. That is where I quiz people soon to be like this man. This
dresser. I'm going to be on that podcast 100%. I literally messaged Kami just like 5 days ago being like, hey, you better have me on your fucking game show podcast or I will kill you. It's and also I gave Kami just a bunch of feedback about how to make this game show better.
Please give me feedback if you listen to
that bonus episode. Give Kami feedback. He will listen to it. Speaking from personal experience.
We need it. We need it. And that show's going to be really cool. As a quick aside, it's just kind of my way of giving back to all of you for listening to this show.
Yeah.
It's my way of kind of having some fun because this year has not been that fun.
Seriously, if you listen to Kami Jace's podcast and you want to be on the game show, just hit him up. Kami Jace is like the most approachable motherfucker I have ever talked to.
God bless.
You can literally, if you're just some rando who's like, oh man, I love the weekly cooldown. You're one of like 3 people. Hit him up. He will have you on his game show.
That one hurt.
I'm sorry. I love you, Kamadis. It's more than 3 people. It's more than 3 people. It's a lot more than 3 people.
It's like at least 50.
I'm drunk. It's all I have.
Our logo and art is by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow him at Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Zach Breiter of Captive Portal. That's all for the weekly cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Paul Henderson.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone.
Hell yeah!